Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening to us. It's the Psychic Talk Radio Network. This is the Power of Three show, live here on Tuesday. I'm Dax Carlisle. I'm guest co-hosting today with the fabulous Dave Nunnally. Let's see if we can bring Dave on here. Are you there, Dave?
Hey, Dax. How are you?
Hey, really
I am
good.
Here.
Awesome. And we got a bunch of callers already. So if you want to call in, folks, the call-in number is 714-816-4628. We'd love to chat with you. Remember to press 1 on your dial pad as soon as you get through. If you're Skyping in, open your Skype app, open the dial pad, press 1. That's how you get to us. 714-816-4628. So I talked to Rose yesterday, but haven't heard from her today, and she's not here for the beginning of the show. So we're just going to roll with it, right, Dave?
Well, I think we should, and it's kind of funny that Rose isn't here, because the whole topic today that, well, what Rose wanted to talk about and what we're going to talk about may end up being two fundamentally different things. She wanted to talk about the Mandela effect, which is this really strange occurrence where things don't happen as people perceive them, and maybe Rose's absence today is part of the Mandela effect. Maybe she's existing in a different plane and who knows what, but we'll get through it all.
Oh, that's so funny, because I was going to make the same remark. It's like she's gone through a time slip, or, you know, she's in a different zone.
Well, she will show up. I was chatting with her yesterday. She taught some classes here at our store over the holiday weekend, and she and I were exchanging text on the phone and on Facebook, so I'm sure she's just fine. But that's okay. She'll call in a little bit, and Rose can join us once the show's already started, so no big deal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is she may show up in a minute or two, folks, but, you know, the show must go on. And this is great, because I got Dave all to myself. I get to just talk to Dave. And, you know, the thing is, the Mandela effect is one of my favorite, you know, really, you know, paranormal subjects. I just love, you know, I scour the internet for things like that, you know.
It's such an interesting thing, because, sometimes when people begin to explore, investigate paranormal occurrences, or, you know, they listen to shows like this or to Coast AM, you know, sometimes things are kind of hard to grab a hold of or to reach. They're, you know, you have to go to a paranormal location to experience something, perhaps. But this one is something that kind of affects all of pop culture. And, you know, for the listeners that may not know what the Mandela effect is, there was a woman named Fiona Broome who came up with this concept. Oh, my gosh, it was probably been at least 5 or 6 years ago, something like that. And the thought was that the entire world thought Nelson Mandela had passed away in prison when he had been in prison in South Africa during the apartheid years. And he didn't. He died in 2013. And so the news of his death was one of those things where people started scratching their heads going, I thought Nelson Mandela died 30 years ago. And why did the, you know, why did people have that experience, and why were they thinking that? And that's what the effect is.
Yes, that's how it started. But then, oh my God, they found so many additional instances of that, you know, just, I mean, endless things, like not just people that we thought passed away. And by the way, I mean, that's happened to me personally like a dozen times now, where, you know, I know this person passed away and then now they're alive. But also things like physical objects changing. You know, we remember advertising of certain products and the images being a certain way, and the text and the way that, you know, the way the name of the product was written out, and then now it's different than it was that we remember.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's how your Dax, it's how your brain programs information. I mean, you know, the one of the more famous ones, and I love using this one, is, you know, the movie Casablanca, when Humphrey Bogart said, "Play it again, Sam." Well, actually, that's not what happened. You know, wonderful. It's called confabulation, and what ends up happening is, in our minds, we program things to be what we think they should be, and then as we repeat it to other people, we begin to believe in how we programmed our own mind. I mean, one of the most famous ones, and you kind of touched on it, are the childhood icons, the Berenstain Bears. There was never any Berenstain Bears. It's always ended with the word stain, but no one wants to call them the Berenstain Bears because that just sounds kind of dirty. And our minds programmed us to believe that it was the Berenstain Bears, and it's just not.
So you know, how much of this do you – I was going to ask you, how much –
go ahead, Max, I'm sorry.
How much of this do you think is just the way our mind works and reprocessing of information, you know, versus maybe there's something actually going on with the multiverse kind of thing?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting because that's what a lot of people say. And, you know, and they just go on to count, you know, lots of examples of where this has happened. The challenge I have with it, because I'm a little bit, not necessarily a skeptic, but I like to debunk paranormal stuff. I mean, you know, investigating paranormal locations is something my wife Dawn and I do a lot. But I approach it from a perspective that I need to prove that it's not paranormal first. And, you know, sliding between parallel realities where, you know, Nelson Mandela passed away in the 80s, or was it 2013? I think there's something there to it, because I do believe in the existence of alternative realities. My only concern is that I sure wish it could happen on much bigger and more important things. You know, not the name of peanut butter, like, you know, Jif peanut butter. Most people remember it as Jiffy.
Yeah.
But there never has been a Jiffy peanut butter. It's Jif. And I mean, there's just so many different examples of it. Your, you know, listeners can pop onto Google and look up the Mandela effect and find all kinds of examples of it. There was just an article, I think, in Good Housekeeping last month about it. Curious George. Everyone thinks he had a tail, but he didn't. You know, if there's going to be an alternative reality that exists in, you know, in this plane of existence, it's, I would hope that something more than just the tail on a monkey. You never know.
Well, and to confuse it even more, there are instances where products and, you know, companies that have been around for 100 years plus, you know, and they do decide to alter or change the name of something. And there's those instances. And so that just confuses the whole thing, you know. The biggest thing, I think, is people that we've thought passed away. And that's slightly in a different, you know, different ballpark than me. I remember the first, you know, I can't even remember who it was, to be honest with you, but I know I was listening to Coast to Coast, and I think it might have been way back, like the Art Bell years, and somebody brought up one of these instances, you know, and I was like, yeah, I remember that. I remember details around it. I remember, anchors, you know, on the TV news programs discussing this person passing away. You know, I mean, so it's not just a mental slip of mine. I mean, I remember specific details. So that's when I first was like, wait a minute.
And it's interesting, because if you take that perspective, Dax, and you sort of expand that out, peel the onion, I mean, is one way of saying it, And you look at how we program our brains to process data around us. There's something really powerful about that. You know, we have memories. People have memories. Patrick Swayze. This is another good example. Patrick Swayze's dead. He died. People recall him recovering and going on to do other things. That just didn't happen.
Wow.
And so when people program their mind to believing something that they want to believe, this is kind of where the Mandela effect really begins to take a hold. And whether it's a shift in realities or sliding between dimensions becomes less important. It's how do you determine what your own reality is? And can you use the concepts behind the Mandela effect to determine what your reality is? And Nelson Mandela didn't die in the 80s. But can you harness that same kind of energy about your own life and your own experiences to say, you know what? I had all of these experiences, and they weren't for my greater good. I'll just use the 80s because that works really well with this example, in the 80s or 90s or 2000s. But you know what? That didn't happen. And I'm going to have a brand new reality that I create for myself, and this is what my new reality will dictate. And I think that's where the power of the Mandela effect kind of comes in. It's not a shared consciousness that's mistaken. It's that we can program our brains to believe what we want to believe, and in some cases what we need to believe.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we need to believe things that, you know, that maybe didn't happen just to survive until tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually use that in change work as a hypnotherapist and an NLP practitioner. We do that a lot. We go back to the initial sensitizing event, and we change it like it never happened. You know, I do that with smokers.
Yeah.
I go back to the very first cigarette they had, and, okay, you're with your group of friends. What if you never lit the cigarette? You know, and it actually works because the subconscious doesn't know the difference between reality and what you program into it, you know. And there's another big factor in NLP where we talk about how all this information, you know, teraflops of information is coming into us through our five senses continuously, and we filter out. Otherwise, you know, our conscious mind wouldn't be able to process it. Well, it goes through filters before we organize it into what we see as reality inside of our mind. We have all kinds of filters.
It exactly does
process.
That.
That's exactly what's happening with the Mandela effect.
It's kind of a really strange parallel, and your listeners, you know, hopefully everyone will find this a little bit interesting. I don't want to bore them with, you know, history and science stuff, and, you know, I'm sensitive to, you know, just going on and on and on about things. But one of the things that I find fascinating is this concept called inoculation theory. And it's a communications concept, Dax. And I actually, my master's studies in communications at Oklahoma took inoculation theory, and I proposed a different way of looking at it. What inoculation theory means is if you read something over and over and over again, if you're exposed to it, you begin to believe it because you've read it, and it doesn't really matter. You know, we see this, and I did my studies, you know, this was 20, 25 years ago, so the internet wasn't as big of a thing as it is now, but you can see inoculation theory applying to the internet. Oh, I read it on the internet. It must be true. Well, duh. Not necessarily. Well, what I did is I took inoculation theory and I converted it and said, we can do the same thing with imagery. And over time, I can expose you to certain images and get you to believe something that just flat out isn't true. Or even better, change your opinion about something. And as part of the study that I did with, it was all college students. You know, in the 90s, people were, in the early 2000s, especially, people were very patriotic, especially after 9/11. Well, some of our listeners may remember that sort of image of that little girl running through the streets of Vietnam that was taken, I think it was by a Time Life photographer, and she was burning. And when that image was released, that changed the American public's perspective about the war. And, you know, prior to that, even in World War II, they never allowed photographs of flag-draped coffins or of the return or the repatriation is really the right way to say that, of soldiers. And I know, Dax, you and I share a history and a shared background in the military, so we take that stuff very seriously. But as people began to see that image of that little girl, or that execution of that man with the pistol next to his head, they begin to change their minds. It wasn't just hippies protesting the war. The realities of what war was began to be driven home. And as people were more exposed to the atrocities of war, they began to be against it. And inoculation theory works perfectly well with imagery. Inoculation theory is another way of saying the Mandela effect. If we see things and are told things, things are repeated to us, we begin to believe it.
That's correct. And, well, before we go any further, we are going to go to the phone line soon, and I just want to remind everybody the number if you want to get in. This is the time to get in, folks. We take the calls in the order that they come in. So give us a ring at 714-816-4628. I believe that Rose is calling in. Let's see if we can bring Rose on. Are you there, Rose?
I sure am, finally.
Hey.
Yay! Thank you guys for covering for me. Thank you so much. This has been a great show. The little bit I'm listening to while I'm waiting to get on the line is wonderful, right? So I'm really enjoying it from this perspective. Yeah, I have had a really rough day, guys. My computer, I was having trouble, technical problems, and not only that, I'm having to put my dog down today. So it's been a rough day.
Oh,
for me.
No.
So I want to thank you for coming on and starting the show and doing everything for me till I could get on. But I'm happy to be here now. And
don't worry.
Dave, I absolutely love
Rose.
Your yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt there. I just wanted to get your opinion, you know, on the Mandela effect. But what were you going to say about how Dave explained
it? That's what I was
going to
say. No, I was just going to say that Dave's analogy of the way things work. I love the information that you bring through. See, this is why I love having Dave as a co-host, because he has so much great information, right? He's been so much experience there, right? You can see both perspectives of that. I do feel like it's a slip in consciousness myself. I think that whatever we put our mind on, that we go to that, we immediately go to that place, right? So power of intention or power of thought, you know, so does it really exist? Do these things really exist? Well, I can tell you personally, I remember Jeffy Peanut Butter when I was a kid. I remember eating Jeffy Peanut Butter.
I actually remember that myself. I can remember the bottle. I can remember it was like,
yep.
I can't even remember. I think it was AIFFY or something like that. I remember that. I absolutely remember that. But one thing I wanted to point out is that with anything like this, we try to find explanations, whether they're paranormal or psychological or so forth. And because we, as humans, we want to put everything in its box. We want to go A or B. We want to go black or white. And the reality may be with this and many other things that it's actually a combination, that we are misremembering certain things, whereas with other things, something paranormal actually did happen.
Right. Well,
see, I think that's,
you know, this is the thing. It's kind of like, you know, and you guys will remember this, you know, here, I think it was back a year or two ago on Facebook, there was this dress that everybody was passing around, and different people would see different colors in this dress, or, you know, it's the way your mind perceives it. So
right.
Really, you know, like I said, it's power of intentions. It's power of thought. You know, and I'm going to go back to religion with this because I do have that knowledge. Okay, so I will say that, you know, God created us in his image first. So whatever he imagined, he created, and that's how he created us. The minute he put consciousness on us, you know, matter, and we put consciousness on ourselves, we form our own body, right? So I believe that whatever we put our consciousness on is what exists. So maybe because there were so many people thinking the same way and a collective consciousness at some points in life, that's why these things like Jeffy Peanut Butter or the monocle on the Monopoly game or, you know.
There is no monocle on the Monopoly guy, though.
But right, you're right. I got it backwards. Well, there is now, right? Wait.
No?
You get what I'm saying? There isn't nowadays?
No, people confuse the Monopoly guy with the Planner's Peanut guy who has a monocle. But because they're very similar, they're this aristocratic thing, they go with the most iconic thing about them. And, yeah, I mean.
And you're saying your mind automatically goes to that because of the peanut butter guy.
Here's a great one. Remember back, this would have been 1990, 1991. So remember when the students were staging the revolution in Tiananmen Square and this iconic picture got released of this man, this stoic student who is ready to die for the cause, and he stands in front of this Chinese tank and the tank runs him over and squashes him and, you know, the horror, right?
Right.
That didn't happen. That never happened. The guy jumped out of the way of the tank. He actually jumped up on top of the tank, climbed over the top of it, jumped off the back of it, and ran off to the crowd. The tank guy never happened. But in our collective memory of Tiananmen Square, everyone thinks that a student was ran over by a Chinese tank, and it just did not happen.
Okay, so it is the
collective. It's so funny. Well, Dave, when you were talking about the picture of the girl and how that changed everybody's, you know, Tiananmen Square popped in my head at that moment. It's so funny that you're bringing it up now, you know, like 5-10 minutes later. It's hilarious. Yeah, I don't have any recollection, collective memory or not, of the man being run over. I just remember the pictures of him standing in front of the tank turns one way, he starts moving to the left, the tank turns to its left, he moves to his right. You know, I didn't even see the part where he, like, you know, jumped out of the way or climbed over, rather, the tank, you know. So that's interesting that people remember it, him being run over. I know that didn't happen.
Now, see, that's amazing, though. I mean, that, you know, Dave, this is why I love you, because you know me. And you just lay it out there, and you can see different perspectives of things. It's like, you know, I love that, because I'm a medium, and sometimes, you know, people will say something, and I'll say, no, it doesn't work like that, you know. But unless you've been in that perspective, or unless you have that information and you've seen that, you wouldn't know that. But it's good to see both sides.
It's just how we.
Because I don't think I've ever thought of it that way. You know what I'm saying?
It really is. It's how we program ourselves. So, I mean, we program ourselves. I stepped over my words there. We program ourselves as individuals. We program ourselves as family units. We program ourselves as communities, as cultures. Mm-hmm. And so there are times where we collectively demonize others. You know, look back to those horrible Looney Tunes cartoons from World War II, where they made the racial caricatures of the nations United States was fighting at the time. It was perfectly acceptable to do it then. And by the way, Looney Tunes is another one. Everyone remembers it as Looney Tunes, T-O-O-N-S. Actually T-U-N-E-S. It was the music tunes version. But see, that's sort of a cultural programming that happened in the 40s. More recently, I mean, Star Wars, when Darth Vader is approaching Luke Skywalker, everyone you know, whenever someone's trying to be funny, they always go, you know, Luke, I am your father. Well, actually, right. He never said Luke. He just said, I am your father.
Right. Yeah.
And the story from Snow White, no one ever said mirror, mirror. They said magic mirror on the wall.
But
we programmed ourselves because we've heard it.
Yeah. I programmed myself for that also because I grew up with that movie and that was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I obviously that's what I've seen. So you don't. So Dave, are you just exploring that concept of believing that way, or do you really honestly believe that there is no Mandela effect?
Well, I think that there, and Dax and I were kind of talking about that briefly at the beginning. I think that there is. But what I would like to have happen, what I would like to experience is it be something more significant than a peanut butter name.
Something big.
Or the Monopoly guy.
Although I got to jump in here and say that Looney Tunes is big to me. I'm sorry. I got to say Looney Tunes is big. And I can still remember being a little kid watching Looney Tunes. And the whole concept was why it was called Looney Tunes, TOONS. Is because it was from the word cartoon, and cartoon was shortened down to tune, Looney Tunes.
Right.
It was never TUNES. There's nothing audio about
it.
It's audio visual.
I do.
Yeah, it's cartoon. Yeah, that cartoon was shortened down. I had to ask my father, why is it called Looney Tunes? You know, and he was like, because it's a cartoon, and they just chopped off the car part, and it's Looney Tunes instead of cartoon. And, you know, this whole thing of, you know, being T-U-N-E-S makes no sense. You know, see, the thing is that with a lot of these, you can go, okay, this is definitely a slip of my mind because it's an easy adjustment thing. Like earlier talking about the Monopoly game thing and the monocle, you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, we superimpose things in our mind. But when it makes no sense, for a cartoon to be named after a tune, T-U-N-E-S, and the other version that doesn't exist in this current timeline being, you know, T-U-N-E-S, and the other version that we remember makes so much more sense, then it makes you think, like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's definitely paranormal things going on here because, you know, there are thousands of cases of people losing vast amounts of time, like they moved through some kind of time slip, you know, and you can't write that off as, oh, you know, you just remember it wrong. No, you can't write it off that way. There's too much evidence, and that connects a lot with that connects to the Mandela effect because it's a very similar situation where the lost time is equivalent to, you know, they're in certain areas and it's like they went through, you know, some kind of passageway where they went out of our timeline into a different timeline, back into this timeline. You know, I think that stuff actually is happening, you know, but I'm thinking maybe a big majority of this is how our minds work and we're fooling ourselves, but I think that there's a lot of other evidence out there.
It's how, you know, as humans, we all, no matter what level of consciousness or phase of development or you know, mental, physical, emotional stage of evolution or transformation we are in our lives, we have a desperate need to explain the unexplainable because it happens all the time to us. And why do bad things happen to good people? Let's explain the unexplainable. Let's talk about the circle of influence around them or the other people who are in their lives or just randomness, because it's one of the things that we as humans have to do. And the Mandela effect, I think, helps us explain some of the unexplainable things, just like Dax was talking about. We can't account for everything that happens, and we stick to our guns on things. You know, Rose, a great example for you, you know, let's look at a biblical example from the Mandela effect. What animal lies down with the lamb in the Bible?
The lion.
No, it is not a lion. If you go, it's in Isaiah, it's a wolf. There is no Bible verse about a lion laying with the lamb.
Really? Oh, wow.
Nope.
See, you got it. Okay, so now that's throwing me off. That's messing with me right there.
That's the reason I exist, is to mess with people's heads.
This is what is great about you, though.
That's right.
You see that other logical side, wonderful.
But the reason why the lion is used in that sort of because it's a metaphor. I mean, it comes from the book of Isaiah. The reason it's used is because the lamb is innocent. Everyone has readily slapped the table and accepted the definition of the lamb as the innocent, faultless, not to blame creature. But the lion and the wolf have two fundamentally different reputations. The wolf is this mangy, wretched, horrible, snarling, wily coyote kind of nasty thing. But the lion is this majestic, noble, able to kill at a moment's notice. But because of the strength of the lion, think about your tarot decks. Think about, you know, the lion represents royalty and nobility. So here is this creature, king of everything, able to lay down with the meekest. So, you know, it's an easier way to tell the story. The lion lays with the lamb, but that's not what was written.
Great analogy.
Version, you know, the real version of it with the wolf actually makes a lot more sense, because that's the natural prey-predator situation there. That's what, you know, everybody in the Old Testament, New Testament, everybody's a shepherd. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, endless stories about, you know, shepherding sheep, right? You know, and they have to watch out for the wolves. So, yeah, they're not going to use a lion. They're going to use a wolf in that story. That makes perfect sense. In contrast to the Looney Tunes, which makes no sense. You know, why would you name it Looney T-U-N-E-S? It makes so much more sense that they're Looney cartoons. They're Looney Tunes.
We're going to have to.
I'm never giving that one up ever. I don't care what you say. That is ridiculous.
Figure that one out.
I had to go look it up for you, Rose. I had to look it up because I messed with your head. And I didn't have this in front of me, but I do now. It's Isaiah 11:6, and it says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid."
I remember
the calf
that makes sense.
And the young lion and the fatting together,
so
and
where,
the little child shall eat them.
I see. So that's where it's kind of like the Monaco with the peanut butter, and it's the same analogy. It's the same thing. So you're basically, I see that. So our mind does trick us. It's kind of like those posts that people put on Facebook that are backwards or upside down, and some people can read them and some people can't. But your mind sees it, or they'll skip a word, and you'll think that word's there. They'll repeat a word, and they'll say, "What's wrong with this puzzle?" But most people don't see that it has the word repeated. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's the way you're. That's craziness.
It just. It,
but could that
seriously,
also
you guys,
be,
it's. Say that again, Rose?
I was going to say, could that also be that – no, I forgot what I was going to say. Could that also be our minds just, you know – I mean, could there still be some kind of string theory or some kind of other theory behind that?
Butterfly effect, people call it, the parallel dimension. Right. It's just how our brain stores information based on our experiences. And Dex is completely right. There are too many people that have shared collective experiences that just don't make any sense. You know, is there a component of people, you know, on this planet living, you know, in the Matrix right now and experiencing life as a, you know, a Keanu Reeves Matrix character and sees things that others don't see? Maybe. And is their experience any less legitimate than mine? No, not at all. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know what we don't know.
Let me jump in for a second, guys, because it's past the bottom of the hour. So let's take a short break here and let everybody know what's coming up on the network. You know, our shows are coming back from summer break. Some shows were on break. Some shows were on an every other week schedule. Now we're going back to full time here in September. We got other shows coming back in October. We have a new show in October and a new show in November as well coming down. So stay tuned for that. I've got all the shows listed up into October on the upcoming shows page. So go over to psychictalk.net/upcoming and you can see all the upcoming shows. I'll just give you the next couple of shows coming, which is tomorrow, September 4th. I'm doing a open lines and mini reading show with Charlotte Kornberg. So if we don't get to your call today, you can call in tomorrow. I'm doing another one on Friday with Dr. Rose Wilkerson, open lines as well. And on Saturday, it is the monthly Mystical Musings show with Mary Brown, and she's talking about our very own planet Earth. That's right. So you can also call in on that show as well. Go over to psychictalk.net/upcoming to see all the upcoming shows. And that's about it, except for we do have the Labor Day sale that was on Monday still going. So you can go over to psychictalk.net/Labor Day and get in on the Labor Day sale as well. Any other things on the topic, guys, or do we want to – jump to a question, you know, some calls?
I'd love to do some questions. I did have my own Mandela effect experience literally last night. Don and I have to go to a wedding in a few weeks, and I was, you know, it's for some friends of ours. They're kind of kitschy and artsy and a little esoteric, so, you know, you can kind of wear what you want. So I was joking that I was going to go and look for like a used suit or used tuxedo from this, you know, the 70s, something kind of tacky and funny. And I said, yeah, I want to find like
Dumb
a
Dumber, right, Dave?
Exactly. No, you nailed it. And I said, I'm going to go find me like a chartreuse tuxedo with a ruffled shirt, you know, really tacky. Well, so I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was doing a little bit of quick research before the show. Did you know the color chartreuse is part of the Mandela effect too?
No, I didn't.
What color do you think chartreuse is?
I would say chartreuse. Wow. I would say like a peachy pink, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. It's green.
You're kidding me. Wow.
I'm not kidding you, Rose. I'm not kidding you. The listeners can go and Google chartreuse. It is a Mandela effect example of everyone in our collective conscious believes chartreuse is pink. It's green. It's
That's
actually
crazy.
Green.
That's craziness.
So
I've always thought
there
chartreuse
you go.
Was... Yeah, because that's back in the 70s. That was a big color, you know. And
yeah.
So it's like that's wow.
Yep.
That
it's a color between yellow and green, and it was named after its resemblance. I'm on Wikipedia just so I can sound really smart. It's named after the French liqueur called chartreuse. I had no idea. But, yeah, it's somewhere between yellow and green. It has no pink in it whatsoever.
That's craziness. That's
crazy. Awesome.
Well, it just goes on and on, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It goes on and on. And,
yeah.
And then that's what's fun. It's fun. I mean, really, honestly, it is. I mean, I've often wonder about the whole time slip theory simply because there have been times when I've experienced things like that. And I'm really into physics, so I mean I do believe in all that stuff. I believe in those.
And
theories.
maybe some of our callers will have their own Mandela effect. Instinct.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. To
yeah,
hear.
I'd love to hear it.
So give us a call, folks. If you have Did you have one of these things happen to you? Whether it's chartreuse or something completely different. 714-816-4628. That's the number to call. Remember to press 1 so we know that you want to be live on air with us. As soon as you get through, press 1. 714-816-4628. Area code 917 has been waiting the longest. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for having your show.
Hi.
Well, thank you.
What's your name, hon? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tina. Thank you. I'm from New Jersey. I did go and Google chartreuse because I would have got that wrong on Jeopardy. So thank you.
What's chartreuse? Like, oh, my God.
So what do you think of the Mandela effect?
I believe that's true. That's true. You know, especially with the certain things we don't know and the news kind of gives us the information and we kind of take it at face value sometimes. So that's absolutely true.
She just broke it down, didn't she? She just broke it down, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just take it at face value. We're like, oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. Like, even chartreuse, I'm like, I consider myself an intellectual, and I'm like, what color is it? I'm like, going with her, like, yeah, it is a peachy. That sounds good. He's like, it's green. I'm like, we wrong.
Well, you know, back, you know, I'm an old lady, so, you know, back in the 70s, right, I remember that color. I could have swore it was like a peachy pink color.
I know, right?
Just like the one Jim Carrey wears in that Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
So did you want? Were you calling in to make a comment, or did you have a question, or did you want a mini reading?
I'm mini reading.
What would you like to know, okay, darling?
Yes, thank you. I would like to know about my relationship with my boyfriend Trey.
Okay. All right. Great. Who wants to go first? There's three of us here.
Thank you.
I can go first, Rose, if you want me to.
Okay. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Thank you.
So, Tina, one of the gifts I have is I use tarot for everything that I do. It's just kind of my roadmap. And I cut the deck in the middle, thinking about you and the relationship that you have. And the second major arcana, the High Priestess, showed herself to me. And the High Priestess is a very fascinating card in the major arcana. She is surrounded by the trappings of many different faiths. There's many different ways that the High Priestess can interpret the world around her. But the fact is that she's got wisdom and she has intuition. And I don't want to answer your question by giving you a question back, but your intuition is something that you absolutely must trust. You have lived this life and many other lives, and they have given you the ability to discern. You know when things aren't right. And if you're looking to try and make things right by talking away or wishing away, you're selling yourself short, Tina. You know what needs to be done. Your own intuition tells you what direction you need to move forward, just like it would the High Priestess. And you have the power and the authority to do that in your life. So it's a time for you to honestly trust your intuition and take the action that it's guiding you to.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Tina, real quickly, I'll tell you, I agree with what Dave just had to say. So what I get with that is I feel like you do need to trust your intuition. I feel like you've been through the ringer as far as a relationship goes in the recent past, but I feel like your heart is open right now for love, and you're ready to accept it, but you have to learn to love yourself and stop, you know, looking at yourself and your faults and look at the good side to you, because when you love yourself, others will love you. And you will draw love to you. So that's what I was getting. I do feel it's there. You just need to open up more, honey. Love yourself more, and you'll attract it.
And allow those things that are in your... Yeah, allow those things in your relationship to be revealed to you, Tina. There are things that have not yet been revealed because you're choking them down or fighting them away. Open up and allow everything that needs to be revealed to you about your relationship to manifest, and then you'll know what to do.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Enjoy the rest
thank
of your
you,
week.
Tina.
And
have a great day,
folks,
honey. Keep listening.
There's a lot of room on the caller line, so if you want to call in, 714-816-4628. And the next caller that's been waiting the longest is 551. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is T, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hey, T, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I can't complain. It's a beautiful day in Illinois here today.
Nice.
How can we help you?
My question is more so pertaining to just what you get. Or I'm sorry if you hear some noise. I'm just getting in my car. But pertaining to romance. And if you saw anything.
Are you cut out? A what?
I said romance. If you saw a new relationship, a new serious relationship coming in.
You are not going to believe me when I tell you this. Rose, I don't mean to step on you if you were going to say something.
No, you go right ahead. If you got something, you go right ahead.
Yeah. This is just bizarre. And I swear to you, on every holy book on this planet and the lives of everyone close to me, I just cut my deck, and the sixth major arcana card manifest itself right in front of me. That's the card known as the Lovers. And your question is about relationships, or a relationship, or romance.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a card more appropriate in the deck for that exact question than the Lovers. And what it really truly means, it's a card about renewal, whether it's an existing relationship or finding a new relationship, a potential partner. It's about having an everlasting, committed partnership with somebody, and it's right on the horizon for you.
Oh, that's lovely to hear.
And it wasn't reversed, which would have been the complete opposite of that, to be quite honest with you, because I don't have my cards going one way or the other. It was an upright lover's card, so it's right there happening right now.
Wow. I wonder who it is.
Well,
I can jump in and tell you something about that, because he's showing up as one of the earth signs, Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn. And timing-wise, I'm getting 10 days. So somewhere in the next 10 days. Be on the lookout for those earth signs.
And I can add to that, too.
Okay. And I just pulled the 10 of Pentacles, which is about Earth and 10 being the completion of the Pentacle cycle. So, yeah, we're all on fire together today.
And I will tell you that this person is a very social person. In other words, they probably do some kind of social work. So that does tell you a little bit about him, right?
Yeah.
And he's also a little older than you are, too, T.
Oh, really? Wow. Do you know how much older?
Well, the Ten of Pentacles is often interpreted as the card of inheritance. It depicts this older gentleman with a family and an estate and all these wonderful gifts that are being left to others. So what I would tell you is it's hard to pin down a specific age. What I can pin down is mature, responsible for his dominion or his domain. This is a person who has a job, who has a home, who has matured beyond, you know, being irresponsible, if that makes any sense to you. Yeah. It's not someone that's a player that you're going to have to worry about, you know. They're just fine with you. They're just fine without you, but they're even better with you.
Oh,
They don't need you. And you don't need them either, by the way. But the way it comes together, it works out very, very well.
Oh, that's good. So it's an earth sign. I hope it's not a Virgo.
Shoot for the Capricorn or the Taurus then.
I cannot do a Virgo. I love them, but I cannot do Virgos. Like,
yeah,
and
the
so
thing
ridiculous.
The thing is, though, T, it's not an exact science. It's definitely related to the earth element, that kind of energy. So it doesn't have to be somebody that's a Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn, but somebody that's really down to earth, you know, has those kind of qualities, dependable,
okay,
things like that.
The social worker, like I said, is somebody that he's very social and can work with other people because he understands. Okay, so
okay.
I feel like this. I feel like he has an understanding of people and how they work and a lot of compassion. So
mm-hmm.
I think he's pretty secure within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. I'm in social work myself. So
are you?
Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
You attract them to you. You attract what you are.
Well, thanks for the call,
T.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yep.
Thank you.
Now you're going to have to call back and let us know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. We probably have time for
working with you two, right?
Yeah.
It's like a three-ring circus on here today.
It is. It's fun, though, right? It's a challenge. It's
yeah.
I love it.
Well, having been on, you know, many, many shows with many different hosts over 10 years, I can tell you the synchronicities are just amazing. It happens on every show, and it just tells you, hey, this stuff works.
Yeah.
So we probably have time
does.
For maybe... we have time for maybe one more call here. If we don't get your call today, remember you can call in tomorrow. I'm going to be on with Charlotte Kornberg, or Friday. I'll be on with Dr. Rose Wilkerson. Let's see here. Who's been waiting the longest? It looks like area code 216. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Patricia. I'm calling from Ohio. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi, welcome, Patricia.
Hi. My questions are, I'd like to know, I've been recently, say, in the last year or so, about ancestral wounds, that sort of thing, and how it's affected me and my monies and relationships all my life. Now, I didn't know all this just recently. Mm-hmm. I need to find out. Hopefully you can tell me if what how do I resolve heal within all my lineages, Irish, African, Puerto Rican, American, and others I may not even know about, any remaining ancestral wound hurts, be they involved in abuse, poverty, just bad, hellish relationships, curses, spells. Oh, goodness. I know I'm leaving out quite a few things. Just trauma.
That's okay,
a lot
Patricia.
To take on. That's an awful lot to take on yourself.
Yeah. You know, what manifested to me almost immediately.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
What manifested to me almost immediately, Patricia, was the Queen of Cups. And the Queen of Cups is a very interesting card. Cups deal with the element of water. They deal with faith, with spirit. And the Queen of Cups is one of the most nurturing, compassionate, sensitive cards in the deck. And when we see this card, when I see this card, what it really indicates is sort of this nurturing, maternal energy. What does that mean for your situation? Well, what it means is obviously listening and learning, comforting others, caring deeply. You cannot be the Queen of Cups unless you have some empathic skills about you. You sense the needs of others. This is why you're pursuing this path of healing for all of your lineages. If you're doing it in an attempt to create, to make right things that were done wrong in the past, I would tell you the best thing that you could do is just to let go of those things and let it pass on from you. Allow your Queen of Cups, allow yourself to be surrounded by this warm, loving energy that comes with the cup. Instead of focusing so much on your lineages, use that power that you've got to help others in your life find peace and comfort. And when you do that, I think you will put to bed some of the emotions that you may have that surround where you came from and how you got there. And you'll see that they may not be nearly as consequential as you feel they are right now, especially when you're on the path of helping other people.
Hello? You still there?
I'm still here. Yes, I am.
I agree. I have to say that I agree totally with what Dave just said, because I feel like you're taking on way too much. Honey, I think, you know, every lifetime that we live, because we live so many thousand lifetimes, and some lifetimes we live as our ancestors. And yeah, we do have that karma, but the whole point of living in that, a lifetime now, is to overcome that. And by experience, that happens naturally. So I think you're already on the course to healing. It's just understanding and using that compassion to help others. And Dave is 100% right on that. I agree totally with that. That's what I was going to say in the beginning when I said, you know, you're taking on the burden of all of this, but you're focusing on that, what's going on there, as to solve it. And that's good to see it and then release it and let it go. You don't want to dwell in it, because you create more of it, what we think we create. So live with your future. Be happy with your future. Choose to live happy. Choose to live joyous. Learn the lessons and teach others. And that's what these lifetimes are all about, honey. That's how we ascend. That's how we overcome all those past lives.
Follow your heart, not your head.
Exactly. And so, Dave, you were right on with that. And, honey, I hope that helps you.
Yes, that's my intention, to release and resolve them all so they don't keep affecting me.
Right. I think sometimes we get too wrapped up in getting too focused on all of that. You know, usually when you're reliving a past life experience, it'll be, you know, you'll get little subtle things that come up and you'll see them. And once you've viewed them, you'll notice, once you view the whole picture, once you get a few clips or you understand that lifetime, it goes away. Because it's
right,
all about
right
understanding it and using that experience to create a better life in this time.
Yeah, just very quickly, Patricia, get some 3x5 file cards and write down the positive aspects of each of the lineages that you have, those wonderful things that those collective experiences bring to your life. Also write down the negative things that each of those lineages bring to you. And when the new moon cycles around again, take those 3x5 file cards out, find a nice quiet place, light a fire, burn them, and release the negative feelings, the sentiments, the things that you hold true. Release them to God and just burn them and let them go. And when the full moon comes around, take those positive attributes, go outside, do the same thing, and embrace those positive aspects. Allow the full moon to fill up your energy. Allow the new moon to take all the negativity away and start fresh.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, that was great. Dave, or Dax, do you have anything you want to tell her real quick? Anything?
No, you guys covered it wonderfully, and we are at the end of the show. In fact, she dropped off already. There's 1 minute left, so it's perfect timing.
Ooh.
Okay, great. Thank
Rose,
you guys,
can I do a shameless plug?
Sure.
Of course.
Yes, of course you can.
I never do shameless plugs.
You do.
If,
you're supposed to do shameless plugs. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not my style, though. So if anyone wants to reach me, they can do that through the It's Raining Zen shop in Alton, Illinois. And the phone number here is 618-717-0546. Or you can email me at dave@itsrainingzen.com. And if folks want to reach out to me, I'm also able to do readings over the phone and talk to folks about some of these questions that they may have. So just give us a call at the shop anytime, or you can find us on Facebook too under It's Raining Zen.
Also, I want to do a shameless plug real quick. I want to tell them that we have our psychic fair coming up. If you're in our area, which is, you know, Alton, Illinois, we do have a psychic fair coming up October 19th and 20th, and it is one of the biggest ones in the area, and it's magnificent. We have a bunch of great readers and great vendors, and you can come visit Zen, and you can come visit Dave and I at Mineral Springs, and it's going to be a blast. So join us. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can call me at 217-556-1021, or you can reach me on Facebook, Rose Fullhorse. So thank you guys all for listening in today. Thank you, Dave and Dax, for covering for me. I appreciate it.
Of
I love
course.
You guys. I think it's been an awesome show. Right? It's always fun, right? So I want to thank our listeners today. And I also wanted to let you guys know that next Tuesday when we're on, Dave and I will be doing a show on shadow people. So that's going to be
interesting.
Ooh,
I didn't know that until just now. All right.
Neither did I. And I love that. Big fan of the shadow.
Yeah, I've got some experiences and some stories on that one.
Right. So it's going to be lots of fun. So I'm looking forward to it, but it's always fun. It's always fun working with you guys. So, and it's always fun doing this show. And thank you all you listeners out there. So with that being said,
thanks everybody.
Thank you. You guys have a great day. And
right.
Remember, it's always a party with spirit.
Bye everybody.
We love you, Rose. Bye.
Bye guys.